If we can just complete a pass, it would look good. We got to complete some passes. You got to convince them that you can do something.
Vikings are going to start Carson Wentz at quarterback Thursday night in L.A. against the Chargers as J.J. McCarthy is still not back. Angels are hiring former MLB catcher Kurt Suzuki to be their new skipper.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL brought to you by Deeds Bar & Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
It's time for California Ag Today on the Ag Information Network. I am Haley Shipp. Most people see almonds as a healthy snack, but half of every almond is the hull, the outer layer traditionally used in dairy feed. With a smaller dairy herd and hulls now being traded below production cost, the Almond Board of California is looking for new ways to add value to this resource. Formed in 2017, the board's biomass working group is exploring how hulls can become food ingredients. Chairman Michael Kelly said that this biomass working group is where business meets science. Almond hulls are rich in fiber, natural sugars, and minerals. To explore their potential, the board partnered with product innovation firm Matson to develop sample foods, including a high-fiber bar, roasted hull coffee, and bread enriched with hull powder. Adding just 10% hull powder can actually qualify foods for an upcycled claim, which has been gaining traction with waste-conscious consumers. Almond Board Associate Director of Food Research and Technology, Guangwei Huang, said, "We are about to begin a new journey to generate more revenue from almond hulls." Several companies in the almond industry are already investing in hull cleaning systems to prepare for food safe approval.
For the last 40 years, the Ag Information Network has been the source of news for farmers and ranchers. Yet we have never seen such an assault on farming and our food supply as we do today. From fuel to fertilizer, farmers are facing unprecedented economic challenges. This is why agriculture news that farmers receive comes from the Ag Information Network, reaching coast to coast. Deep roots in farming and decades of reporting, the Ag Information Network, trusted and transparent journalism for generations. For over 40 years, the Ag Information Network has been providing news and information for the most important industry in the world, agriculture. The Ag Information Network gives you worldwide updates from local producers to regional organizations, from major crops like wheat and corn to animal agriculture to specialty crops like apples, almonds, and cherries. We report on stories that mean the most to you. Online at aginfo.net, the Ag Information Network, trusted and transparent journalism lasting for the next generation.
This is California Ag Today on the Ag Information Network. Find more agricultural news at aginfo.net.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Maria Bartiromo, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are mixed in afternoon trading as investors parse the latest batch of mostly solid third quarter earnings results. The Dow is ticking higher and on track for its 12th record close of the year. Gold prices are falling and on track for their biggest decline in more than 10 years, a day after notching new record highs. As a result, shares of Newmont Mining are plunging 9% and one of the worst performers today in the S&P 500. The Magnificent Seven tech stocks are mostly mixed. However, shares of Apple are up 0.5% and on track for its second straight record close. The tech giant is closing in on a $4 trillion market capitalization. Shares of General Motors are surging 16%. Its business was down from a year ago in the third quarter, but better than Wall Street was expecting. GM also lifted its profit outlook and trimmed its tariff impact. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
When I started skiing, I didn't think about setting any records. When I won my first race, I didn't think about how many more I might win. So when I made it to the top of the world, it never crossed my mind to stop. Being the best isn't the same as being your best. There are no shortcuts to the top, so find the people who help get you there. I'm Michaela Schifrin, and that's what Team Stifel means to me. If you're an advisor or an investor, choose Stifel, where success meets success.
Stifel Nicholas & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult a financial advisor before making any investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080. Bill
going through Congress may put an end to some of the silly projects your money's being wasted on. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
The federal government recently spent $500,000 to find out that when people are angry, stop smoking, or hear loud noises, they clench their jaws. Yes, it was one of those studies approved by the National Science Foundation. The researcher, Roland Hutchison of Kalamazoo State Hospital in Michigan, spent 7 years working his way through the study of wasps, boa constrictors, rats, and monkeys before he got to human beings. Among his findings was that monkeys, quote, became angry when they were shocked and would try to get away from the shock, unquote. He also learned at taxpayer expense that drunk monkeys do not usually react as quickly or as often as sober monkeys, and that hungry monkeys get angry more quickly than well-fed monkeys. When he got to people, Mr. Hutchison discovered, quote, that people get angry when they feel cheated and tend to clench their jaws or even scream and kick, unquote. I couldn't be happier to hear that. For a while there, I was beginning to think I might be a monkey. Are you sick of hearing stories of your money being spent on projects of this stripe? Well, so was Congressman Robert Bauman, a young second-termer from Maryland. When the National Science Foundation's annual budget was up for approval recently, Bob Bauman proposed an amendment requiring the foundation to provide the Congress with a 30-day notice of proposed grants, during which period either the Senate or the House would have the chance to pass a resolution vetoing any grant. Any grants not disapproved by either chamber would become effective after the 30 days. In support of his amendment, Congressman Bauman cited complaints his office had received concerning such grants as, quote, $6,000 to study Polish bisexual frogs, $70,000 to study the smell of perspiration given off by Australian Aborigines, and $2.6 million to study the sex life of crabs, unquote. Miracles will happen even in the 94th Congress. Bob Bauman's amendment passed the House by 212 to 199. The National Science Foundation was somewhat stunned by this development. It wasn't so much that they thought many of their grants would be vetoed should the amendment become law. It's just that the mere threat of a veto would have prevented many of the more absurd projects from ever being approved in the first place. So they beat a path to their friends on the Senate side, hoping to stop the Bauman amendment there. Fortunately for them, the chairman of the relevant subcommittee is a friend of theirs, Senator Edward Kennedy. He called the Bauman Amendment an attempt, quote, by members of Congress to act as censors, unquote. Then the senator attempted to prevent Congressman Bauman from appearing before the subcommittee, which of course wasn't censorship. Other committee members intervened in Bauman's behalf. Still, the amendment faces rough going in the Senate. If you're tired of seeing your tax dollar used to invade the privacy of bisexual frogs and amorous crabs, you might write your senators urging passage of the Bauman Amendment to the National Science Foundation appropriation. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
Protecting what matters on the right choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
It's Tuesday. It's 12:30. The Bear is back in the building. And welcome to Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. We have a very interesting show today, in my opinion, as right now, calling in from his office in Israel, I have Gadi Benjamini. He's the co-founder and CEO of Firedome. We're going to learn about autonomous wildfire detection and protection equipment that he and his company have created. It's multi-layered, it's AI-driven, and it's reactive, and it's perfect fire suppression for our area of the world. And also, he's going to talk about the fast-acting, eco-friendly fire breaks that can protect your home and other valuable assets. Gadi, welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Thank you, Barry. It's a pleasure being here and looking forward to speaking with you.
Well, it's a
in the audience.
Yes, it's, I think your topic is very timely as we since we're in fire season right now this time of year here in California. Just real quickly at 1 o'clock, I have Greg Graywall and Murray Powell coming in to give us an update on the Paso Robles groundwater basin. A lot has happened since Greg was on the show a month or 6 weeks ago. We'll talk about the tax dollars wasted and the unmet promises from the local area groundwater system. Sustainability authorities, how the 218 vote for the JPA actually came down and who was actually voted against this, and what we can expect next from the JPA with no authority and little funding. You can call in or text your questions in to 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So again, Gadi, thanks for being with us and calling us from Israel. I know it's kind of late there right now. You're probably ready for bed. But before we learn about you, and your company, Firedome, I know our listeners would like you to take a minute or two to give us an on-the-ground report of life in Israel since the return of the remaining living October 7th hostages.
Yeah, Barry, it's been very emotional times, emotional weeks here in Israel. Kind of a mix of relief and grief because, as you know, we have... alongside the living hostages, we are receiving also bodies of fallen hostages, and it's very, very important for us to get them all back and bury them here in Israel, give them the respect they deserve. I think the beautiful thing in this last couple of weeks is that everyone in the country came together in a very humane way, and we actually celebrated. We had a whole celebration. It was also during a holiday that we have, celebrating the hostages returning here safe, at least physically. Mentally, you know, it's hard to assess at this point. And then, very quickly after they returned, we became anxious again, anticipating the dead hostages also. And yeah, very, very challenging times. But we see the light at the end of the tunnel, I think.
It doesn't seem like Hamas is cooperating very much from our perspective. I mean, first of all, they're killing their own at this point. But there was an attack on an Israeli construction crew. I think it was yesterday. What kind of anticipation do you have that they're going to cooperate with disarming?
I think that there's a very strong consensus ranging from the U.S. and Egypt and Turkey and Israel. Everyone wants things to be calmer, and everyone wants Hamas to stop messing around, playing around, acting like terrorists, like you just mentioned. That's why the Vice President of the United States is in Israel right now, J.D. Vance, speaking with the Israeli Prime Minister to make sure that everything is under control and that agreement is kept And I think it's everyone's interest. And I hope that it will be kept as planned, as agreed with Hamas and Egypt and all these countries that were part of the agreement.
All right. Well, you know, we could talk about this for the entire segment, but I do want to turn to your company called Fire Dome. I'm guessing, you know, that's inspired by the Iron Dome anti-missile system that has saved thousands of lives since its deployment in Israel in 2011. How did you and your colleagues transform Iron Dome technology into fire detection and prevention tools?
So yeah, exactly like you said. I think there is a lot of resemblance on how we or how Iron Dome protects properties, neighborhoods, cities, millions of people, millions of Israelis every year, 24/7, and how we as communities need to protect ourselves against wildfires. That's kind of a similar strategy, similar methodology. And when we started building this company almost 2 years ago, we were at the beginning of the war, and Iron Dome was very much active, protecting us from missiles from Hamas. And Adi, and Adi is my co-founder and CTO of the company, we thought, why not take the concept of Iron Dome, protection of areas and properties and neighborhoods, and use it for the wildfire problem, which is getting worse as days go by. And after talking with dozens of fire chiefs and insurers and people who lost their homes and businesses in the U.S., we understood that the concept fits what we thought, and it kind of validated the fact that that using the same protection methodology of Iron Dome to wildfires is a good idea. And then we started thinking about the technology. It's not the same technology as Iron Dome. Iron Dome uses missiles. We're not using missiles. We're not using any explosives. We're only using mechanical forces and electricity. But the concept is the same. The method is the same. And that's kind of our inspiration.
What's your...
Maybe one more sentence.
Yes.
What? One more sentence is that, like... Iron Dome has early detection. It responds precisely. It is autonomous. It makes the decision using AI. Same principles are, in fact, applicable for the wildfire problem, and we're utilizing them and implementing them in fire.
So tell us a little bit about your background. I mean, I gather you were in the Israeli army, and was Adi in the army as well?
Yes, both of us actually came from the same unit. It was 20 years apart. I left the Army just 3 years ago, and Adi left the Army 23 years ago. And we were in a very unique unit that combines different technology types, mechanical engineering and physics and algorithms and computer vision, and kind of connects everything together to very, very unique projects that are at the core of Israel's defense strategy. And that kind of something that binded us. I had a very long career in the Army, 14 years. I was a lieutenant colonel in the intelligence corps. I was an intelligence officer. And Adi, at the civil industry, also dealing with climate and green energy, she led dozens of engineers and dozens of projects, very, very complicated projects in a company called SolarEdge, which is one of the most famous companies here in Israel, the first one to make it to the S&P 500, very successful company. So combining the expertise that she gained there on leading technological teams in very complex projects, and my experience in the military and leading and commanding over 100 officers, again, mainly engineers and techies, I think that's kind of what makes us unique. And our employees, we have 18 employees, most of them are from the same unit that Adi and I came from.
That's great. How fascinating, really. So why did you decide to focus the company's attention on ag and rural areas like ours here in California?
So I think that's where the main pain of wildfires is today, as we identify it. We're talking about wineries and farms and communities that reside in rural areas, they're at the front line. You guys are at the front line. You're mostly the first ones to burn or to be threatened by the wildfires, and sadly, often the last ones to get help, because firefighters, they do an incredible job, and we're working with them and coordinating with them, and they are our partners and our allies, but they can't be everywhere, right? There is a limited amount of firefighters, and they're allocated to where the population density is higher, which is often not the ag areas, the rural areas that you mentioned. And also for us, as we develop the product, there's the first phase of early adoption. Where do we install the first pilots, the first products? And agriculture areas are more simple to do than go to straight to neighborhoods, very dense neighborhoods. So that's kind of a combination of the methodology of how to build a startup and the fact that there's a huge problem in these specific areas.
So can you briefly describe how the system works? You know, I took things off your website. You got a great website, by the way. Layers of protection, how big of an area can you protect? And I like the notion of that you're thinking of creating mobile units as well for this. So maybe you can explain how this all works.
Yes. So the first generation that we have just built and tested here in Israel is a stationary unit. Is installed inside the property of the customer, and it can protect up to 70 acres of property per a single unit. If you have more property, you can install several units, and they communicate and create a larger dome to protect the entire assets. Now, the system stays idle until a wildfire starts to approach the property, and then it goes online. And once it goes online, it creates several layers of protection for the property. One is a peripheral fire break that prevents encroaching fires from getting into the property and destroying your valuable assets. The second thing is we cover the structures or our assets that the customer prioritizes with eco-friendly fire retardant, and then it keeps them safe from embers that, as you know, are wind-driven in these types of fires and can destroy properties and assets and buildings miles away from the source of the wildfire. And these two are preventive measures. They are applied hours before the fire gets to the property. The third layer of protection is a more online, real-time detection and suppression of spot fires. Spot fires are fires that are that start because of embers, that some embers will penetrate the ground peripheral fire break that we create, and we'll penetrate the property and start new fires, small fires. And if we don't stop them and suppress them, then we can increase and destroy a part of the property. So this combination of three layers, two preventive and one reactive, create what we call the figurative dome or the protection. Everything is managed autonomously by an AI algorithm that we have developed that collects sensors, data from the property. It could be wind, temperature, humidity sensing, obviously cameras that detect the fires. Everything is flown, the data is flown into the computer, and the algorithm calculates the perfect places to deploy either the fire retardant or water. So this is kind of the principle. And yeah, the mobile unit is the next generation of the system. It will be mounted on fire trucks, and will be able to reach more complex locations that the fire trucks can't reach, or it's very difficult for them to reach, and also give them the range. The range of the launcher, this model, is about 1,000 feet, and we're planning to increase that even more with the mobile unit.
The launchers are really cool looking. You know, they're like right out of Star Wars, really. So, and you can protect buildings and crops. Is that really, you know, the focus?
Yes, exactly. It's essentially buildings are protected by two means. One is the pre-coverage with the eco-friendly fire retardant, and two, if a building does catch a spot fire, we detect it and suppress it while the spot fire is extremely small, so it doesn't destroy or cause any damage to the structure. And crops, same way, we create the fire breaks or the barriers around the crop, and it prevents the fire from burning the crop. And the retardant is eco-friendly, so it doesn't do any damage to the crop itself or the ground.
Okay. And I know you've had some conversations with some of the winery folks here in the Central Coast, and you're going to be doing some installs up in Napa here shortly. We're going to talk about that here in a second. But how do you analyze and design a fire solution for someone's property? You know, what does the process look like?
Yes, this is a very interesting process that we've done so far with multiple properties, and we're learning a lot from these processes. So it starts with a survey that we conduct. First, it's a theoretical survey. We go to Google Maps. We have several data points that we combine to understand the topography of the property, the types of vegetation that there are in different areas of the property, obviously the size and the parcel shape, wind, historical wind data. Everything is integrated to perfectly design the fire break that we need to create in order to protect the property. And also same for the asset protection. The customer tells us, I want to protect XYZ assets. And we make sure that we feed into the algorithm the specific locations of these assets to make sure that the capsules with the materials get there fast and accurately. Now, this is the first step, is the theoretical step. The next step is a site survey. We visit the site, we take pictures, videos, and again, all of this data is used by us and our experts to create what we call fire behavior analysis or fire behavior simulations that simulate different scenarios of wildfires approaching the property, and that helps us strengthen even more the protection strategy that we offer. I will say an additional thing. We are supplying the system as a service, meaning we install it, we maintain it, we make sure it works 24/7, 365 days a year, and we also offer additional services such as vegetation management, which is often complementary and helps us also strengthen the protection of the property, or home hardening. And we provide the property owner an A to Z solution, an end-to-end solution, to make sure that his mindset is calm and he knows that his house or property or crop is protected.
Well, when you come out to California, I'm going to have to connect you with one of my guests from about a month or so ago. She works with a company that uses sheep and goats to use the, you know, to get rid of the, you know, to do the grazing and for fire prevention, and that would go hand in hand really with what you're doing. Have you had any? We got about 2 minutes left here. So, have you had any conversations regarding Fire Dome with Cal Fire, other state local agencies here in California about Fire Dome's capabilities?
Yes. So the strategy that we have applied with this in this respect is to discuss, first of all, CAL FIRE as the state authority in multiple levels, technology, operations. We want to coordinate with them. We want to make sure that we are seamless with them. And also on the county level, we are in contact with several counties, including yours, Paso Robles, and Napa, and Sonoma, and Marin. San Bernardino, Orange County, the stronger counties that unfortunately suffer from wildfires in California, and we're in contact with the fire chiefs, some for testing, some for safety coordination, but yeah, definitely in all levels and all ranks, we are in contact with the fire departments. It's really important for us to work with them.
Any interest from the property insurance companies? Whoops. I hear the bumper music coming up, Gotti, so we'll hold that question till the next segment. So I'm going to put you on hold for a couple of minutes. And, folks, we will be right back with Gotti Benjamini of Fire Dome. He's got a great story here and a great service. So please stand by.
Service Body Shop, we receive many letters and emails and pay attention to what our customers have to say about our service. We realize that it's a stressful time after an accident, so our emphasis at Davis Body Shop is not only on the repair of your vehicle, but on the service and attention we provide from the minute you work with our professional staff. Here's what Adrienne had to say.
I found Davis Body Shop and Eric in particular to be very helpful and professional. They kept me informed throughout the process, through emails and phone calls, and went above and beyond what they said they would do. They also were very quick and had my car back to me ahead of schedule. I'm very pleased with the whole experience. Thank you, Davis Body Shop.
Davis Body Shop, the auto collision specialist that you can trust on El Camino Real in Atascadero with a convenient enterprise car rental facility on site. And Davis Body Shop at Paso Robles Chevrolet.
Wesley here from Stove and Spa Center. I just wanted to thank you for letting us make your life more comfortable for 35 years. You can see and explore all of our hearth products, wood, gas, pellet, and electric, to keep you warm and cozy during cold and wet winters. Or maybe you're looking to enjoy the benefits of what hot tub's soothing water can do for your body and to melt away the stress that living today brings on. Or perhaps you want to get in better shape this year by exercising in one of our swim spas. There are many models and sizes. We even have models with treadmills built into them. We have a large showroom with lots of the products we sell. Plus, lead times to get products have been greatly reduced. And of course, you can still get all the supplies and even get your water tested for your pool and spa. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Come check us out at Stove and Spa Center, 7485 El Camino Real Atascadero, between Burrell and Moore Roads. All products we offer are on our website at stoveandspa.com.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Gadi Benjamidi, co-founder and CEO of a company out of Israel called Firedome. Please call in with questions or comments or text 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So, you know, Gadi, being in the insurance business, or not, you know, I am interested in if, I know you've talked to a few insurance companies about, you know, the technology that you're trying to employ. Are you getting any interest that they want to see how this works as possibly a way to be able to expand their ability to offer fire insurance to wineries and other ag you know, businesses?
Yes, definitely. We have spoken with insurance carriers, insurance brokers, and reinsurance companies, mainly in the U.S., and we mapped out, let's say, three potential strategies to integrate Firedome into the insurance industry. One is to create insurability. As you know, a lot of areas in California are uninsured, and business owners need to self-insure. So creating insurability is one. Two is decreasing the premiums, the insurance premiums. And three is to offer Firedome service in the future as a service to their insurers, to their customers. So essentially, yes, we've met with multiple companies. They want to see it work. We just released a demo video showing the system in action here in Israel. So the system works, it's operational. And the next step is to ship the system to the U.S. in 2026 and then do some demonstrations there in California.
So, yeah, so that's the next thing I wanted to ask you about. You know, you're planning to come out to California here in the next few weeks. Can you share some of what you're going to be doing and maybe, you know, again, what you're doing to set up these demonstration projects?
Yes. So there are several goals for these travels for 3 weeks, October and November. First is to locate a test site for the first system that we're shipping from Israel. The second thing is to partner with contract manufacturers that will manufacture the systems in the U.S. and California. We're not going to manufacture the systems in Israel. It's much more, it's better, and it's more efficient to manufacture them in the U.S. And third, to meet with communities, with business owners, wineries, resorts, HOAs, people from the insurance industry, senior people from the insurance industry, because it is an industry, as you know, Barry, it's not a very fast industry, so we want to work.
No kidding.
Intensively with them. And yeah, these are the goals, and we're planning to be in several regions, North California and Southern California, and we can definitely drive by to Paso Robles if someone wants to meet. I love that. So yeah, these are the plans.
What you know, as long as we're here, you know, you've got a great website. Do you want to share the website address and how people can get in touch with you? And then we're going to come back to some other questions. But let's make sure people know what you're, you know, you could obviously just Google Fire Dome, but you want to give the website address, please?
Yes. So the address is www.fire-dome.com.
Great.
And if you, through the website, you can set up a meeting, you can send me an email, anything, whatever is convenient for you. And yeah, the video will be uploaded to the website probably tomorrow, so you can see it there live. I would love to discuss with you.
So tell us, you know, one of the questions that I kind of skipped over, but I want to get back to, because, you know, there's so much talk about it today, is can you unpack the AI decision-making aspects of the Fire Dome system? And because, you know, people, I mean, I think at some level we're all fascinated with AI at some level, but we also have concerns about it. So how does that all play into what you're doing here?
Yeah, it's a great question, and there are several layers of AI in the Fire Dome system. So I would say the simplest layer is and you asked me about it, is how we plan the protection strategy. In a few months, we will have an algorithm that we're working on now that will input a coordinate of a specific or a parcel number of a specific property. And as an output, we will have a specific protection plan for the property. Integrating the algorithm will be able to integrate the data from the web on vegetation, and on topography, and weather conditions, and wind conditions, and then we're teaching the algorithm how our system works, and then integrating these data points creates the protection layer automatically. Now it takes our analysts days to create a protection strategy per property. This will take seconds, minutes. That's one aspect. Second aspect is the computer vision aspect or element in our system, the detection of fire and detection of other elements that we don't want to launch towards. For example, humans, animals, drones, helicopters. We can, the algorithm, after we taught it, by running billions of pictures of these different objects that I mentioned, it knows to identify and detect them in a very, very, very high success rate. So either it's a fire we want to suppress or elements we want to avoid, our algorithm knows and has been taught how to do it and how to differentiate. And the last thing, the last part, is integrating the data that we collect from the sensors live 24/7, 365 days a year, into the computer that controls the launcher and actually tells the launcher where to launch the capsules. The data has to be processed all the time, real time, online, and there has to be a decision making algorithm to prioritize. For example, if you have a spot fire on one type of vegetation which spreads faster than a spot fire on another type of vegetation, it will have to prioritize, the algorithm will have to prioritize one spot fire over another. So this is kind of prioritizing the target list. These are the three main elements of AI embedded in our system.
Well, would you please make sure, Gadi, that I know what your travel plans are for your California trip? Because I sure, if you're going to be in the area or close to the area, I'd love to set up a meeting with you and Heather Moreno, who's one of our supervisors, and she chairs our Fire Safe Council, and which is very active here as far as doing prevention work with property owners and all that. So again, what's your website address?
www.fire-dome.com.
Gadi, thanks for coming on, and we'll look forward to an update after your trip out here to California with more progress for Fire Dome. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Folks, I'll be back after on the other side of the break with Greg Graywall and Murray Powell talking water.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.